So for disclosure, I work with the Teen Screen National Center for Mental Health Checkups, and I also work with a Medicaid managed care company that works in Ohio and Michigan. Obviously, that's why I have an expertise in mental health and in Medicaid, but both nonprofit organizations, and I'm excited to continue to work with them. So I'm going to mostly skip this, but I do think that because there's been so much conversation about why it's important to integrate care and why for adolescents mental health checkups are important. But there is one key statistic that hasn't been addressed that I thought I would raise, and it's that the Institute of Medicine in 2009 reported that $247 billion annually is lost in our country in individual and societal costs because of undiagnosed and untreated mental illness among youth. I think that's a very poignant point to make when we talk about why is integration of care so important. Because really, when you look at the Affordable Care Act, if you look at Medicaid, if you look at so many pieces of legislation that have passed, there really is a feeling among policymakers that to really start to integrate care, you start at the youth level. You start with children, and then hopefully it builds up, and you identify early, you treat, and you reduce the severity. And so that as you get to the older ages, you don't have the prevalence of disability that we now have in our country because we don't actually identify and treat at the most opportune times where treatment is most successful. So there are a lot of wonderful bills and laws that have passed in the last few years, but the cornerstone of all of this is really the Medicaid program. And the Medicaid program, since it was created through regulation, has always had a component, a benefit related for children, and it was actually codified in 1989 through the OBRA Act. It's called the Early and Periodic Screening, Diagnostic, and Treatment Benefit, and it is just what it says. We are in Medicaid. Providers and states should be encouraging the early and periodic screening, diagnostic, and treatment. And little known by many people is that this isn't just a medical benefit. Throughout the benefit, throughout the regulations, throughout statute, it references mental health, and here are a few. So if you look in Section 1905R of the Social Security Act, the term early and periodic screening, diagnostic, and treatment service includes screening services which are provided at intervals which meet reasonable standards of medical practice, and at such other intervals indicated as medically necessary to determine the existence of certain physical or mental illnesses. And beyond, it talks about the comprehensive and developmental history, including assessment of both physical and mental health development. We know within the EPSDT benefit, very often it's very robust, and it is actually quite good on the physical side. And children are identified with developmental disabilities in the Medicaid program very regularly. It's really quite a gold standard when you look at it. However, for a variety of reasons, both at the state level and at the provider level, the mental health assessment is not happening, except for those very young ages when you're looking at autism, some of the, again, the developmental, the 0 through 5. But once you get past 5, it doesn't really happen. And so, again, just talking a little bit more, the comprehensive medical screening includes mental health. And not only should states be doing it, they have to do active outreach, should be doing active outreach to the parents, to consumers, to make sure that they're aware that the benefit exists and that help them access it. But it doesn't happen. We know widely that it doesn't happen. But should it happen and where should it happen? So this is just a quick note from the American Academy of Pediatrics. If you look at their Bright Futures Guidelines for Health Supervision of Infants, Children, and Adolescents, they are actually quoted as saying, primary care practitioners are ideally situated to begin the process of identifying children with problem behaviors that might indicate mental disorders. And I think that's important because clearly pediatricians have stepped up. The American Academy of Pediatrics has stepped up, especially in the last few years, to really push this out into their community. And I think it's time for Medicaid to do the same. To really, when you have children in the Medicaid system, that their primary care providers are being encouraged by the Medicaid system and also being reimbursed, because that's really the crux of the issue for us. And again, this just talks about, and I know Lori mentioned this, the Guidelines for Bright Futures talks about all well-child visits, newborn to 21, should have a mental health evaluation. So the key here is that we know Medicaid already requires it, but do states do it? According to the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Investigations, they issued a report in 2010, and the title, quite tragically, was most Medicaid children in 9 states are not receiving all required preventive services. And I think key is that 76% of children did not receive one or more of the required EPSDT medical, vision, or hearing screenings. And again, because we know predominantly the mental health component across all of healthcare is left off, we have a pretty good suspicion that the mental health piece is really a big part. If the medical piece isn't being done fully, we know the mental health is often the one being left off. And more importantly, 41% of children in the Medicaid system in these 9 states did not receive any of the required medical screenings in 2010. And you can see at the bottom the states that were reviewed. And again, we're talking about some fairly significant states when you talk about the Medicaid program. Florida, Texas, and Illinois, those are some of the 3 biggest Medicaid programs in the country. So those are millions of children. If I remember correctly, it was about 2.5 million kids were captured from those states. And again, it was a range. It was big states, little states, medium states as far as program size. And I think it was a little very disappointing to see that happen. Another key piece of this is when you think about it, if you're going to do a well child visit, you have to actually see the child. It's hard to do an annual well child visit if the state's actually not reimbursing for a yearly exam. But we know that if you look at this map, there are a number of states which don't. I'll go to my cheat sheet here because I already counted them. We know that there are only 31 states in the District of Columbia that actually will pay a provider for seeing an adolescent every year between the ages of 10 and 21. 2 states only pay for 5 visits in that period, that 11-year window of time, and 13 states only pay for 6 visits. So clearly, if we don't even have every state allowing a provider to be reimbursed for that annual well-child visit every year between the ages of 10 and 21, the most critical time to be identifying a mental illness and to really be integrating care and trying to bring it all together, we know we're missing the boat here. We can't do that if the kids aren't actually coming in to see their primary care providers. And another key piece here is when you think about it and you look forward to 2014 when the Medicaid expansion will happen and coverage up to 133% of poverty will happen, that doesn't affect a lot of kids, but what it does do is it affects their parents. And so there have been studies that have shown that children whose parents have health insurance are more likely to have health insurance. So right now we know that there are 8.3 million kids in the U.S. who are uninsured. And we know that 44% of them are under 100% of poverty, and another 28% are under 200% of poverty. So pretty good estimate that at least half of the kids who are uninsured right now are eligible but not enrolled. And so the hope is that as 2014 comes and there's such an outreach in the community to get parents enrolled and to do outreach and get kids, that a good portion of those kids will come into coverage. But again, we need to make sure the benefit is actually serving them well. So when you look at this and you think, okay, well, Medicaid has it, but why do we really care? Why does it matter? Well, I think it's important to think about this benefit package and all the kids that it's supposed to be serving. And in particular, really creating that integration between mental and physical care. So we know that 30% of all kids in the U.S., almost 27 million kids, were enrolled and receiving coverage through Medicaid and CHIP. It's a lot of kids. And when you think, again, looking forward to 2014 with implementation of the Affordable Care Act, I've already talked about the first piece, which is the increased enrollment for adults, which hopefully will bring in the kids. But there's also the piece, when you look at it, that there's a maintenance of effort policy, which basically says in the statutes that any state that's covering populations up to a certain income level have to continue to do that. And for children, it's until 2019. So it locks those states in. If they were covering kids in their Medicaid program to 185% of poverty, and then CHIP, they were covering them, let's say, to 250%, they are locked in no matter what their budget situation becomes. They cannot reduce eligibility. But again, if the eligibility is to a program with a benefit that's not is a substandard benefit, it's not really giving them the services they need, and it's tying the provider's hands to be able to really integrate that care, then we haven't really achieved the goal. The goal should be, obviously, to have a benefit package there that is working for the kids. And so with that, we sort of move to the end, which is the recommendations, and some of these have been addressed. But I think first and foremost, we need to make sure that states are actually covering a well-child visit every year. Next, we need to reassert the statutory obligation to annually evaluate and screen adolescents because we know it's not happening. And we need to work with states to provide useful and concise guidance to providers. There are a multitude of screens out there and a multitude of ideas as to how you evaluate youth. But really, I think that states, and this gives the sort of one of the benefits of Medicaid is that you can craft the program to the state. You know, there's an opportunity for the state to really try and winnow that down to a more reasonable amount of screens or providers or guidance that would help them. And again, in the last one, we begin collecting data from providers and states to assess the frequency and the accuracy of the screens. And I would say for those, the administration is actually trying to work very hard in anticipation of 2014 to improve the Medicaid benefit for children. Cindy Mann, who runs the Medicaid program at HHS, is actually has been organized over the last year and a half an EPSDT working group that is specifically looking at sort of integration of care, looking at the behavioral health benefit, looking at really the program structure and how could it be better and how could it serve youth better in anticipation of for now, but also in 2014. And a lot of these recommendations are things that have been widely recommended to the task force and are under serious consideration by the administration to try and figure out how do we really make that benefit, which as a model does already integrate care and creates the sort of, at least on paper, the background, the basis to be able to do it, but really to remove some of these restrictions and get states to start working with providers and to start providing an integrated benefit that would, again, reach our goal, which is early identification and treatment, which then, again, in the long run would hopefully reduce the prevalence of disabling mental illness.
Great. Thank you.
So I hit escape.